times past and present, who have opened the doors of your wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Savadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. The orb is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day, oh, happy blessed place, oh, happy blessed time, oh, happy blessed path, oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be said. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, for even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What's the sound of the water? Can y'all hear okay, or shall we try it? Try it with it on? Okay, got one vote, so that one carries today.
I think the quilt helps to
block the sound. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So what shall we look at?
I was just looking at this, and I want to look at it again to kind of get it. Mm-hmm. So I love the Musings article that mm-hmm. came out this week, this month. And I think what I liked about it, first of all, was it just gave me whiplash.
It gave you whiplash?
Yes, because so I started reading that the first story was, you know, the if you.
Is that so?
And so, when I started reading it, the first thing that arose, of course, was, "Oh, I know this one.
Uh-huh.
I know this story. I know how this goes." and then I came to the second story about Burn That Down, and I had never heard that story, and it was just, you know, this kind of wait,
uh-huh.
and that's what Zen does all the time.
Yeah.
And the being loves it. I doesn't like it, but the being loves it.
Yeah.
Just being thrown totally off balance.
Yes. Yes. It's that, yeah, that being totally thrown off balance, and how much that delights the heart,
yeah.
of the being.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a Hafiz quote that goes something like, To pull the chair out from beneath your mind and watch you fall into the lap of God, is there anything more fun for Hafiz to do?
Or sharing to do.
Or any. The heart to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing about it is that what conditioning always wants to do is to take any one of those Zen stories, which are intended to disorient us, I believe, and make a rule about it.
Yeah.
So if it's, is that so, then this is what you do in any situation, and if it's burn the hut down, then this is what you do in any situation. And then what conditioning was faced with was, well, these are rules, they're still rules, but they're in contradiction.
Yeah.
And so to get it, that they're not rules and they're not in contradiction,
yeah.
just opens up such a much bigger space.
Uh-huh.
And where it lands me is, I don't know. Yeah. And, most of my life I live in, I do know. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime I'm identified, mm-hmm. there's a security of, I know.
Yeah, and that has to be in big quotes,
big quotes.
Security, because it's actually the most insecure place to
right.
be.
Right, because you can be thrown off balance so easily.
Yes, yeah.
And so, you know, I just see that truly I don't know is such a glorious, spacious place, and it is truly a moment-by-moment place, because who knows what you might do in any situation. You can't derive any rules.
Yeah.
Because it all comes down to, are you present in the situation?
Yeah.
It sort of, here's a range of possibilities, yeah, just for your information, just for your, just as pointers. But that doesn't mean you know in a given situation, oh, this is a burn-down situation, or this,
yeah,
is a, you have to wait for the situation, which means truly the only place you can be is I don't know.
Yes.
Boy, that is just, you know, the image that came up to me today was like treading water in midair. I mean, treading air.
Uh-huh.
And there's, again, it's both wonderfully freeing and huge, and you know, to the small self, just scary as anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Well, and it strikes me that every time through practice that experience is experienced, then it reinforces the big self who loves it.
Right.
And it, you know, and it sort of erodes that conditioned perspective or habit. That's all it is, right? It's
right.
Just a habit. And that's how we, that's how our practice takes us into the moment in each moment.
Well, and hearing you reflect that, the other thing I see is the reason it doesn't scare the big self is the big self is consistent with it. I mean, the big self,
yeah,
is it.
Yes.
The big self is not separate from it. And so there's nothing separate to be afraid.
Right.
I really got that bit.
Yeah.
The big self is as big as it.
Yeah. It's totally compatible. It's one with,
right,
that very, that reality. It is that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think just that, just appreciating so much this practice and how it just pulls the slats out over, mm-hmm, and over and over. And if I'm not identified, I can in fact just enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one other thing that it seems like, to keep talking about it, to keep looking for those times and to talk about it, is the process of feeding that good wolf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to, if not, it'll just sort of get clouded over and back into the whole needing to know kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But the more energy and the more attention and the more focus, you know, we give these things that we want to reinforce in our lives, the stronger they become, of course.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Nikki.
So along those lines of reinforcing those things that we want to give, mm-hmm, more time and attention to.
Yeah.
So I participated in the at-home workshop yesterday, and where I came out at the end was wanting to keep in front of me that whole attitude of I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the I know attitude is not fun.
Yeah, there's no play in there.
There's no play in it. And there was one game we played yesterday, one thing where I knew it was not that way. That way. And it was... It was just so amazing to watch how strong that was.
Wow.
You know, it's like then there was this other side that said, well, it doesn't matter, we're just gonna do what we're told to do. And then I was like, no, because this is the way it's done. You know,
I was like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa. You know, I mean what I came to see was that there are certain, you know, there are a lot of conditionings games that have been very well exposed, but there are certain boxes that it has put the being in,
mm-hmm,
that are so tight and comfortable, quote comfortable, mm-hmm, not really comfortable, but mm-hmm, familiar, comfortable, that I don't even see them.
Until you see them.
Until I see them, mm-hmm, you know, and it was such a revelation to see that one, you know, I mean, It wasn't totally surprising. I mean, I know that about me. I have increasingly come to embrace that I have to be a one on the Enneagram. And so there's that, I know and I'm going to do it right. But I just had never, in such a small little window of encapsulation,
yeah,
seen how strong that push is to do it the right way.
Yeah. So in that sort of small, encapsulated, concentrated way, you got to see it very clearly. So it's not like it was a total surprise, but it was such a clear reminder that ego presence is there.
Right.
And it would carry the day if allowed.
If one weren't noticing what it was up to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And you know, what I thought yesterday was so beautifully, you know, helpful in doing is helping us see, you know, we can go with those, you know, conditioned ways, certainly. That's certainly an option. It's just that it's so much more fun,
right,
not to.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, the people who hadn't had that struggle reported great fun. I didn't have that much fun. You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, in the long run, it was fun to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel very fun in the working out of it, but you know, if it hadn't been such a workshop, that one little 10 minutes or however long it was, I wouldn't have seen as much about fun.
Yeah.
So it was quote worth it.
Uh-huh.
To have that exposed. But,
well, and in that way, we were just talking about that exposure of it, that pulling the chair out is fun to the heart.
It is.
So there's layers and layers of fun in the game fun, and then fun in the process of seeing it fun.
Yeah, and you know, it goes along with, I've really been, just the last week or so, really looking at what I've heard Sherry say two or three times recently about you can either be happy or unhappy,
mm-hmm.
and really setting the intention to be happy. In the face of a real karmic conditioning that says this person is not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I don't have a clue then how you go about being happy if what you're told is you're not happy. But that's what I'll find out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it seems like you had a big clue.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with what I know.
Right. And whenever we do see those times that we're in the box with conditioning, to simply see it and let it go.
Yeah, that's really it. Yeah, that's really what I've seen so far in holding this, is just let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
You know, because all the things that lead to the box, all the things that lead to suffering are some version of, this is not the way it ought to be, and I know the way it ought to be, and we just need to get to that way, and then all will be well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are the roads that lead to the box, the walls of the box, the lid of the box, you know, all of that is what keeps it all intact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jim. I've been looking at a lot lately. And one of the things it feels like, just because of some things that have happened that I've heard about, and just lots of different things, just very aware of a tremendous sense of compassion,
mm-hmm.
and a bigness for all of it.
Mm.
Really, I heard something recently that connected me with how very painful and difficult life can be,
mm-hmm.
for a conditioned human being. And how much I lived in that a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
and still go there. And I just, something about it just opened a space for me to, I share that orientation that we were just talking about, of right and wrong and good and bad, and that can get translated into practice. And it's wrong to be unhappy,
mm-hmm.
and it's wrong to be struggling, and it's wrong to have self-hate, and it's wrong, you know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing how, certainly there's a ton of that. There, you know, that has been woven all through the practice that has happened for me. But that I just got this much larger perspective that what has given the space for transformation to begin to happen is the compassion,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't wrong to have whatever experience happen be happening,
mm-hmm.
you know. Which I think, just one more thing about it, that think that gets tricky because we talk a lot about not focusing on conditioning, not indulging conditioning, not, you know, that sort of thing. But it feels like there's a place where it's really important for the fact that all of that happens to be able to be allowed to be in the field of awareness or something.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, that not focusing on conditioning can be folded back into the duality of I shouldn't focus on conditioning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is a focus on conditioning.
Exactly. Yeah. Good point. Which is, and what you're seeing is the compassion is sort of the blanket or that covers it all, or the air that permeates it all, or something mm-hmm. like that. That opens up the space to see that the right and the wrong and the good and the bad is indeed just the delusion,
right.
But that's okay. That is okay.
Exactly, and that there's just some sense of, this goes back to the mystery we sometimes talk about periodically, but there's some sense of, for each of us, it's unfolding perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, there can be this real, especially, you know, yeah, in that right wrong karma, like someone who's not doing it well needs to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and I watch that again and again. For me, it's like so-and-so is doing such and such, and I watch practice meet that with compassion.
Mm-hmm. Over and over.
And it's like, yeah. You know, wow. Wow. You know, yeah, exactly. Just that kind of startled, that startled place. But I just realized that internally there's so much more space for this person to just be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
To, although it's funny, in a way you could say the exact opposite, that she's finally not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think forever, that's what being left alone with conditioning is hell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's the name of the game when she's left alone with conditioning.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, punish, reward,
work hard. If you didn't work hard enough,
get accolades or get punished.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything flows from all that in that world. But when we're not, and the compassion is that presence that I don't know if you'd say it this way, but something like that, that is the, I'm no longer alone because we were with that compassion.
Yeah, there's just a tremendous sense of being loved and with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that things don't come up,
right.
You know?
It doesn't exclude any of it.
No, just the other day it was like, I wish that my life I could love, you know, just all that stuff. And I was out walking with Sadie, and I just kind of sat down and just, okay, well, let's look at that. Tell me about that, you know? And of course, in that moment, that is, if there's anything authentic in it, she has what she wants in that moment.
Because
that's all she wants.
Exactly.
Is to be allowed to have her experience. It's not wrong. And that she's not alone.
Yeah.
And in that, she's not alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And if there isn't anything authentic in that, who cares?
Yeah.
You brought consciousness to something.
Yeah,
it's no lose.
Yeah.
There's no way to lose that.
Yeah. And what it highlights is if there's something that just keeps like but that feels like the place where we can go, okay, well, I'm going to keep going on my walk now.
Exactly. That's what I mean, because in that way of bringing consciousness to it, you're just meeting whatever is arising.
Yeah.
And in that moment, because we can't know until that moment is there, what the response is. Maybe the response is to sit down and look at it closely. Maybe the response is, okay, I'm going to just keep walking now, you know, and look at the trees, or, you know, but if we don't have that place of just of meeting it, then we are already kind of taking that step toward the unconsciousness, you know?
Uh-huh. I think so. Yeah. You know, the two concrete examples of kind of just how it all unfolds. I don't know, sometime back, I just got into this rhythm where I was just waking up really early.
Mm-hmm.
Just was. and feeling rested, and it was great, because I would get up and I would have oodles of time to do everything I wanted to do, you know, before the schedule started. And then that stopped happening. Mm-hmm. And then I either A, had to get myself up, or B, just sleep to whenever I would sleep. And I always was able, I got up in plenty of time to do the basic things of what I wanted to, mm-hmm. you know, get done. And I never went to the place of forcing myself to get up earlier, which mm-hmm. is interesting. And then just in the last little while, it shifted back again. And I just watched how, you know, it's just, there's some rhythm, and there is a sense of like, now, wait, am I eating differently? Am I, uh-huh. you know, what's that? Uh-huh. But there's just a sense of rhythms. Uh-huh. And the other one that happened was, forever I've been walking into my office, and you know, it's perfectly tidy, but there's kind of the sense that like, in that pile is a lot of stuff. In this pile is a lot of stuff. You know that sense of like, yeah. energetically like, ugh.
Yeah.
So I've kind of been knowing, oh, at some point, you know, I'll look at that. And just last night, I have this part of me I call Martha, who loves things to be like tidy and nice and neat. And, uh-huh. and I just had the sense that she was ready to do it. And I was like, Martha, you knock yourself out. If you are ready to do it, you're completely welcome to do it. And just started in. And it was just, again, that sense of, it was suddenly just there to do it.
Yeah.
But not like forcing it, mm-hmm. not like, you know, it just, mm-hmm. and it feels so supportive and freeing to just let those rhythms of life mm-hmm. support us.
Yeah.
And when we pay attention, everything gets attended to in some time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what you were saying earlier, that life is unfolding perfectly for every person.
Yeah.
Both minute ways of cleaning the piles and the magnet ways of the world, what's happening in the world. It's like everything is unfolding in its own season.
Yeah.
And the way, I was wondering how you were going to finish that sentence about that we can let it, you know, let the rhythm and what you said was support us.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually there's nothing we can do to let the rhythm anything other than support us. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's going to happen.
Right.
But we can either, you know, resist it and therefore not having it support us, mm-hmm. or we can embrace it and drink in the support.
And I think that, at least for me, when I'm in the conversation with conditioned mind, there's setting an alarm, there's self-hate, there's, I don't like this, there's, you're a good person if this, you're a bad person if that, you know, there's the office needs to get clean, there's the forcing that to happen. And I suspect what happens in that is that the window of when life was just going to offer that passes.
Yeah.
So that effortlessness mm-hmm. of when the office was just going to get cleaned out, life was going to do it, passes. Then I have to do it, and it reinforces, well, what do you mean life is going to do it? Life isn't going to do it, I have to do it. How's it going to get done if I don't do it? Because we miss that window when we're up here in that conversation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Justin.
Just putting together some things I heard in this past couple of conversations. Very helpful. It's very much my experience too. It's the compassion that really makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to remember that practice is not about getting it right.
Uh-huh.
It's funny how, I mean, intellectually it's easy. Everybody knows that's not the right answer. But experientially, it's hard to remember a lot of times. And as was just said, you know, my experience of the practice has been all over the place. Lots of angst and struggle and different things, and also lots of joy and expansion and everything. And it feels like without that, the need to get it right, I mean, what remains as a possibility feels like is that compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like no matter what happens, that compassion is there and can be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that's what it's actually all about, rather than doing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so to what it's really all about is the compassion that is there, even when we are all over the map. You know, when we're struggling, or when we're in the bliss, when we're, you know, this, or when we're that, when we're loving it, when we're hating it, all of that is all there. But the compassion is sort of the undergirding, the point of it all. And it's so helpful to remember that experientially.
It is. Mm-hmm. And then there's this perspective that was also referred to, I think, in that you know, that everything is unfolding perfectly for everyone. Mm-hmm. That's amazing how that is so true.
It is.
And conditioned mind cannot see that at all. You know, because it's all that dualistic right wrong stuff that people are talking about.
Uh-huh.
Cannot see how everything is a part of whatever it is for each human to encounter and work with or transcend or whatever is going to happen in this life.
Yeah.
It divides everything up into this is the right thing to be happening, the wrong thing to be happening. And it just feels like that perspective is such a big part of that compassion.
Yes.
Because it just takes away that whole right wrong thing.
Yeah, it really does. Because there's nothing that divides up anything in compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And like in in that dualistic frame of mind, where there are the boundaries, the lines, the borders, the, you know, the goods and bads, there's just no way to fathom the millions of moving parts that is happening with everything unfolding perfectly.
That's it. Yeah, there's this big perspective that I don't think the human can access.
Yeah.
That where I can imagine, you know, you could kind of get to this place that was far enough back where you could see the interconnectedness of all these things and how it's all working perfectly for everything about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't have access to that, of course, but I have a felt sense of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of evidence. You know, when people talk in group, there's a ton of evidence for that. You can just, especially with practice, because practice, it feels like, puts us in line with that perspective, because
yeah.
It takes away the right and wrong, and it, you know, we use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, which is basically that, another way of talking about that same perspective.
Uh-huh.
So this thing happens that, you know, whatever, I do something really unskillful or whatever, and, you know, the voices are going to have all these kind of opinions about it, but from that other perspective, it's going to be helpful.
Yeah.
And it's going to, and with the compassion, then, you know, it frees up the ability to learn and grow as a result of it.
Uh-huh.
That self-hate is what is there, it feels like, to keep that from happening.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I did this thing that the conditioning calls unskillful, and then the self triggers the self-hate, and all the attention gets bottled up in that, and there's no availability for the gift that's actually in it.
Yes.
I don't know. I just feel like there's a place where everything works.
Yeah.
And it's really working for the human all the time, even though the condition can't see it at all.
Yeah. But as you're pointing out, we do get glimpses of it,
mm-hmm.
like in Sangha. You know, and for me, the beauty of what you're describing is the way I've been looking at it lately is keeping attention on awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can only attend to our little part of awareness, you know,
mm-hmm.
and as Sangha, we're, you know, when we come together for conversations like this, we are sort of keeping our attention on our collective awareness, so we can
mm-hmm.
see a few of those interconnected things that mm-hmm. when we do something unskillful, it's going to help someone. It's all okay,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that far a leap from okay if we experience that in our collective Sangha. Then it's not so hard to imagine that must be happening all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. The thing I just want to mention, I really enjoyed the workshop yesterday a lot, and that thing as I said earlier about provider was kind of this long view of fun.
Uh-huh.
Instead of this little short view, this is either fun or not fun, but you know, what popped in is that was said was, I heard this thing one time about this guy who, I can't remember what he was doing exactly, but it was something like going to the South Pole, you know, like this huge thing that you will drink into your crop. And of course, humans are doing this sort of thing all the time that are completely optional.
Uh-huh.
You know, climbing
yeah.
the tops of mountains and jumping out of things and
yeah.
you know, just kind of going to the bottom of the oceans.
Uh-huh.
But this guy was doing that, and he was doing it alone. And he was dragging, you know, so he was dragging a sled
uh-huh.
that had all his stuff. And I don't know how long it took him, but it was a really long time. But what occurred to me as just popped in is, you know, he might not have had a single thought that whole time that this is fun, you know, because it's pitched to reach below zero.
Yeah.
You know, he's eating, this guy was actually eating sticks of margarine. It just sounds horrible, but to have enough calories to be able to do what he's doing, to keep his body warm and everything. But I bet it was really fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, not like moment by moment,
yeah,
necessarily.
Uh-huh.
And that's really kind of my experience of life, and also, you know, and also practice, is a lot of times I wouldn't say I'm having fun.
Yeah.
But there's this broader place from which I really am.
Uh-huh.
On this deeper level.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like that's really the fun that I want to go for. I don't want to try to avoid, it's like the Buddha talked about avoiding pain and having pleasure. Not that kind of fun, but this broader thing. It's like it's really fun to be engaged in this process and be a part of that, no matter what the actual moment by moment experience is.
Yeah. In fact, not even no matter what, but even because of all of those experiences.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that exact same point was dropping in for me this morning too, and what was sort of exemplifying that was that movie. I don't know if anybody remembers that movie, Princess Bride. Oh darn! But anyway, it's it's one adventure after another, and this sort of the humor around falling into these major quicksand holes, or just one thing after another, and it is a way of looking at that, a way of interpreting fun that encompasses all of life, that encompasses all of the human experience, because it really isn't what, it's how.
That's so true. That was really come up from me yesterday. That, you know, this whole thing is, if you look at this whole thing, it's just a great big game.
Yeah.
You know, that's designed to be fun.
Yep.
You know, I think a lot of people don't experience it that way, you know, but it's designed to be fun. And, but like you're saying, all of that is a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, falling in the quicksand, that's a part of it too. Plus, there's everything else, like there's the learning that happens, and just the depth, you know, the deepness of the experience of being a human and all these kind of things. But it's also just, you know, if it's all an adventure, which was kind of the word that came up at the end of that yesterday, and you know, it just takes everything out of it. It's, you know, there's nothing to feel bad about.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to regret. There's only stuff to enjoy and to look forward to.
Yeah.
Even though I know that the experience of life will continue to be the way that it has, with lots of pain at times and struggles and difficulties, but, you know, there's that larger place to put it all in.
Well, and to bring it full circle back to what you started with the referencing the compassion. The compassion seems to be the essential ingredient for having that perspective.
Yeah, I agree completely. I feel like that makes the space for it or something.
Exactly.
You know, and to feel, this came up a lot for me yesterday too, is to have a space where I feel safe to let go of conditioning, basically, and just be and experiment and, just live, is so important. And it feels like this, that compassion that makes that, because, you know, that compassion creates a space that says, no self-hate is allowed here.
Right.
You know, there's no being happening in this place. And so you get to be a kid again.
You get to
have fun in that way that, you know, I think we lose when we get pulled in that world of right and wrong and beings.
Yeah. Thank you. Renee?
Yeah, I was, this conversation was really helpful.
Okay.
And I had guidance not too long ago about, I was describing struggles I was having in a particular relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought up, did I want to stay in the relationship, was the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was yes. And then the second question was, well, do I want to be right or do I want to be loving?
Mm-hmm. That's always a good one to face, isn't it? Oh,
yeah. And it just switched right at that moment I just had this huge switch go off, like, to loving, you know, to, no, I want to be loving, obviously. And that was an obvious answer to me.
Yeah.
And then from that point forward, I started to be loving in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it has transformed it from night to day. I mean, it's just like all these changes are happening that I don't even know how they're happening, mm-hmm. other than I switched to being loving. I don't even know. You know, it's like magic or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that with that one clarity, that one thing clarified of what you want, then the shift just, monumental shift can bring about all kinds of changes.
Yeah, and the other person's like, I don't know what happened to you. You're just like totally different.
Wow. And you're like, yep, that's right, I am.
Mm-hmm. And I feel totally different. Like I just let it all go or something. Uh-huh. Like the right just went out the window and I don't even care.
Aren't those identity droppings away, aren't they just glorious when they happen like that?
Yeah. And then I had guidance again recently. Mm-hmm. I was one of those things that you get that you're not sure you want it, but you get it. And I was basically told to be loving to myself. Uh-huh. Like, you need to stop right now and be loving to yourself. That was basically guidance. And it was just transformative again. It was just like, I was sick and it was like the best time I ever had. Uh-huh. And before I would have been like miserable and trying to get everything done. And everything just, life provided that opportunity for everything just to be dropped, if it's not done, it's not done. And it's okay if it's not done. You don't have to be right again.
Yeah. Well, and would you say that the reason it was the best time of your life is because of who you were with, not how the circumstances were? So when you're in that, I've got to get things done, I've got to push and I've got to plow through and all of that, then we're with egocentric karmic conditioning, who is absolutely no concern for the human and all of that. And so it's like, sort of the sleeping with the enemy model here. And then when we're with life, then as we were just talking about, anything is fun and pleasurable and all of that. It's who we're with.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely who I was with. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, who I was in bed with.
Literally,
who I was in bed with. And because the body wasn't going to let me go anymore. It was just done. It was not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And so it was, those two, I just noticed that during group. Everyone talking, just those two pieces of guidance were kind of the same guidance, just to different beings,
Different applications, huh?
Yeah, and being all one, then it's all loving for everyone. And I get love because I'm being loving, which I'm translating sort of as I get compassion if I'm being compassionate.
Yeah.
And it was just, it is what I think, no matter what you go through, no matter what the circumstances are, if you're being loving or you're being compassionate, then that's what you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, how the guidance came in parts, right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, in the way how life perfectly is unfolding for each of us, so we get to practice in this way, and then time passes, and then it comes up, and now we get to practice in this way, see the transformation there. Time passes, and then something comes up, and who knows? It's like there's just the unfolding, and the insight, and the compassion growing or expanding or whatever the verb would be there, that is carrying us along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all right there.
And it's all perfect.
And it's been talked about. It's intellectually simple, and other times. And harder to do it. Like, it's harder for me to imagine that work is fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet. but so it's like, the experience. So life will provide something, hopefully, that will transform that experience.
Yeah. I mean, we can bet on it. I mean, we can count on it. Because it's like the, we started off with the I don't know. Because I can't imagine work being fun. You're right. I can never imagine that. So in that, I know work is not fun. I know that. Go from that place, of course, it never will. But what you're describing is the letting go of that place, letting go of that company of ego, and choosing to be in a different place, both with the relationship, with yourself, with work. It's already arising, so it's it's there, and so the experience then will, you know, happens.
Yeah, and actually that really helped because I just saw that I, that maybe I could bring that same loving to work.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Be loving towards your work.
Yep.
Maybe
not. Yep.
Practice with that and see.
Yeah. Wow, see what monumental shifts happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had been in the workshop yesterday too. Mm-hmm. And I saw that competitive dream defines, gets to define what is fine and what is play. Mm-hmm. And even things that aren't ostensibly competitive, she's still in there competing. Uh-huh. And I was just looking at, even to something like speaking in group.
Uh-huh. She's going to interpret, she's going to compete in every situation, yeah. Even in group.
So, it's just how she is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And right on with all that, interestingly, the last 15 days, and I could do it exactly in 15 days, I've been, just been having the most fun with doing the very thing that I talk about in here endlessly that I'm not good at, which is keeping commitments to myself.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I don't even know if I've talked about this, but what I've done, what happened was, I found out that there's this kind of paint called chalkboard painting. Mm-hmm. You guys stop me if I've already said
no.
And I had never heard of it. So I went to the store, and sure enough, there's a little quart of chalkboard paint. And there's this, what I think is a really ugly fireplace in my living room that has remained unchanged in the 15 years or so that I've been living there.
Uh-huh.
Just because I don't do things fast.
Uh-huh.
So it's this big surround around this. It's this big wall space, is basically what it is.
Uh-huh.
And I took that paint and I made a great big chocolate out of it.
Oh, wow.
And this is a variation on the stickies on the calendar.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I drew a great big picture of the September calendar.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And we got different colors of chalk. And wrote down six commitments that I'm going to keep every day for September.
Uh-huh.
And each commitment's in a different color chalk.
Mm-hmm.
And when I keep that commitment, I make a little star in that, and whatever the day is, in that color.
Uh-huh.
And it's just getting more and more beautiful.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
And I wake up every morning eager uh-huh. to keep those commitments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just grateful to just dropped in His grace.
Yes.
Back to grace.
Yes.
I just dropped in to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the voice wants to turn it into a future plan.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how, okay, all that not keeping commitments to myself is in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now a person who keeps commitments to myself. Mm-hmm. And he has been doing it, and wakes up eager to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Let's I build am. Another identity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, I have some leftover paint, if anybody would like to.
Oh, that sounds...
The chalkboard, just let me know.
So that is really, I mean, that's a really good thing to see, that here is this, just this grace that dropped in, this fabulously fun, wonderful idea. You're seeing ego try to build, try to form a little identity of it, now I'm this. But it doesn't sound like that's getting much traction, you know, because you're just having fun doing it. Just a curiosity thing is, wonder what competitive June is doing with this, or if anything, if she's getting into it too. Does she think it's fun?
Well, at this moment, I can't find her commentary.
Okay. I was just curious, because that's how you had started talking about, yeah. But in any way, there was no impediment to do it.
No. It was completely energetic.
Yeah.
It's just a delight.
Yeah. And an expansion on what is fun.
Yeah.
From that smaller competitive perspective.
Yeah. So, a thing that I looked at yesterday, a couple of the exercises, we were to do them, and if we heard voices assessing or whatever, we were to stop and start over. Mm-hmm. Well, that's like starting over at one.
Yeah, I know that's true. Yeah, coming back to one.
So, I didn't do that part. Because I've never gotten started.
Because you would have never gotten off one, basically. Yeah.
I would just sit there and hop in that first hop. So the point of saying that is, I can't remember.
Just good. Just fun to see. Just fun to see and say. Well, and you know the. It's on the verge of. I'm on the verge of losing it. But there's something about you just hopped in that one square. Oh, I know. It's like, I wonder what that experience would have been like. You know. So if all we ever did when we sat on the cushion is come back to one. And then maybe to know one. You know, you almost get to know one. You know, come back. It's like I wonder what that would open up, just like the game, you know, would have. So there's that possibility. But then there's also the so there's no problem with not doing that either. So there's just no, it just confounds conditioned mind, because there just is no right or wrong way to do it.
Yeah. I think the guidance to it, conditioning, comes up and does what it does, just to start over, is if it really pulls you into a suffering place, or really into an unconscious, out of mind place. But just to have it as that radio in the other room, that's a different experience.
Yeah, exactly. And we can't make a rule about it, because it is dependent on whatever is there in that moment. Yeah, maybe that was the point. No rules.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, Susan, does he have
it? I did. Can you tell me the time? I forgot.
11:18.
Oh, okay. So I was looking at, so recently I have, I could relate a lot with last week, that all that energy in the body, and so let me explain it to you then. So all the energy in the body, there was some movie that I had seen that was described, or this person's in some kind of, you know, rocket ship, and anyway, I don't know.
Was it Gravity?
No, also it was Contact or something.
Oh,
I gotta go with the movie now. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's okay, so you know the movie, I don't need to explain. Okay, so. And it's so funny, I come down to group and I think, I'm unique, I don't live on the property, people can't possibly understand what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And then people describe it, I don't even have to talk, I go home, I practice, I feel better.
Uh-huh.
Less alone, all of that. So, but the way I would articulate it is that I probably haven't felt this kind of karmic push
in 15 years since I had my first child. And then before that, I was trying to roll back to the earliest time I was in a tornado once. Look at it when I was a little kid. A tornado hit our house. And there are a couple of others, because I'm a six, and what I do is fear. You know, the energy gets interpreted that way. So roll forward to the present, and the content that's triggering it is my oldest has gone to high school. And the thing that I was looking at was that thing about compassion, because what I tend to do is move just left of center to compassion for her, completely forgetting that I just need to stay here and move to compassion for me and for all. And so it was super helpful to watch, because you know, the relief that happens when I move to love, you know, love rather than right, or compassion rather than tension, fear, is, and all I have to do is do it in this moment. Because the way ego takes it is it says, well, you can't, I mean, you're going to go back up there, and she's got all this, the story wants to start again.
It's fine here. You know, you can do that here,
right?
But you know, then you got to go back to quote real life.
Right. Yeah. And it tells me, which is totally a lie, and you can't, you're not up for it. And that is the biggest, the good news is it got, I know that's not true, because I have enough experience believing I wasn't up for it, doing it anyway, and then, you know, the other time was living here. That was the other time. So if I map it, tornado, monastery.
Children,
high school. I don't know why those contents to it.
But and lots of big touchstones that prove to you that you are up for it. And this one is not going to be any different than those other ones before.
Right, because I remember feeling that way in all of those situations.
Yeah.
And the thing that I was seeing this morning was that the thing that holds it in place is, okay, so I think this one is a place. So there I am, I have all this stuff. And then right alongside it is not wanting to have this stuff arise. And that's the thing I hadn't seen was there. I was just not wanting it to, okay, you know, if I just record and listen enough or meditate enough, or, you know, but it's not for the reason of just doing it. It's for the reason of not having to feel this again. But what I realized as people, or where I went when people were describing, reminding me to go to compassion, was I can just move to compassion. Just because I'm doing it right now as people are describing it, and it feels better. And this person who's really, really frightened is reassured that she's not alone. And that, in this tornado experience, I was really little, like maybe 7 or 8, and I was the first person who woke up, of course, you know, I'm the six, and I'm really, you know, it's pounding on the windows, and so I call my mom in, and she comes in for a minute and gets in bed with me, and then she says, well, I have to go back in, and, you know, like within minutes, girls get in the hall, you know, everybody's in the hall, but I remember the sensation of relief, because my dad had his arms around the whole family. And, you know, we hear the windows breaking and the roof coming off and all that. And I just remember not being afraid. And it's certainly my experience with Sangha. You know, it's the same. Like when I come down and I've been in this, you know, hard spot like last week. And then I hear and I'm reminded, gosh, everybody goes there. You know, there's no avoiding being a monk. And I have the experience of being there. I know it as an equal escaping suffering, but I can forget that. And so then when I come down, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we're not alone, we're all practicing. And the description you made earlier about, okay, I have my awareness that I keep my attention on, but when we're all together, it really does expand. And I think I hear people talk about yesterday, which of course, I was at the soccer field yesterday. But as I was listening, what conditioning wanted to do is say, oh, there you go, listen to something else again. And I'm like, no, you know, I can look to see what they're pointing at. How was it yesterday? God, it was so much fun. You know, the truth is it was really fun. Super fun because I had a child who's really, really, really good. Little Sophie. Oh, my gosh. It's super fun to watch her, you know. And anyway, so conditioning likes to take it all and make it mean something. And all I have to do is come back to focus my attention on that deep compassion for me.
Yeah. And robs you of what you are experiencing. So,
right.
You know, so you were experiencing the compassion in this group this morning. That's
yeah.
That's what, you know, you were going there. You were there. And it will come in. There's a, oh yeah, there's one thing, you know, yeah, and it just
yeah, to separate.
To robs, yeah.
To rob, separate robs it out and tries yeah. to steal it.
But what sounds like happened was that wasn't really allowed to happen.
No, not this morning.
Yeah.
And when you said that too, that I like to record, I will probably do that when I get home, that thing about, you know, the truth is, you know, I'm not alone. The truth is everybody down at the monastery is practicing really hard to place their attention on compassion.
Yeah.
You know, for me it's reassuring. It's not easy for them either.
Yeah, exactly.
And you practice coming back to it anyway.
Yeah.
And you did it down there. As people were talking, you knew how to do it. They were describing it, and they were describing it, and love. And I know that experience.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm doing it right now as I'm recording this.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is. This is compassion.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah, and then listen to it as I
yeah.
walk in to help with the subject I don't know.
Uh-huh.
How's that geometry going?
Yeah.
Compassion. I can be loving. I can get you a drink of water. I can't really do geometry.
Yeah.
I don't remember it, you know.
Yeah.
But I can...
Yeah, and even so, what a compassionate mom who is sitting there wanting to be, you know, a support. And here, you know, so that compassion watches the situation and holds it, just like your dad was holding y'all in the hallway. You know, it's like the arms are over it all. The afraid mom, the confused geometry student, the, you know, all of that is getting held all the time.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I just want Kurt to say I love Sangha. I know that goes without saying, but I just relate to everything that everyone has said this morning.
Yeah.
I was loving that chalkboard thing, and it's so fun. I have my exact same version of that. I mean, I've been doing some version of that for quite a while, but I was away for much of August, and so I was like, before the trip, I'm like, let's see. So and it just dropped in. I'll make a travel poster. Like, basically, I'll make something that takes in the kind of reality of what I'm headed into.
Uh-huh.
You know, something that's on cardstock, it's kind of small, I can fold it up so it's not going to get all munched up, you know, just this whole thing. I colored it, and da da da. And I chose, exactly, just like was pointed out, I chose six things. You know, okay, so what are the six things I'm going to have my eye on? And they weren't, you know, there's stuff like, I want to make sure I take the supplement. I want my, you know, however many steps, my commitment to steps. I want my, you know, and it was stuff that was like, that was doable
uh-huh.
within, but that was also not necessarily going to happen.
Uh-huh. Without the attention.
If I didn't have my attention on it. Uh-huh. I brought my little stickers, and I made the number of slots that was, you know, was going to be away.
Uh-huh.
It was so much fun.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. And so I've just done it for every, so that was, I did one for July that wasn't a travel one. But now I've folded it up to be a travel one, so it matches all the others. Then I did that for August, and I did the same exact one for September. The
wow.
same, you know, format.
Uh-huh.
But different colors, different intent. I chose three clear intentions that are, like, colored on it, and then the six things on the back. And it's so much fun.
That level of care.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, it just sounds fun to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just picture this, you know, this little girl who's getting in there and getting to color and getting to design it and all
yeah.
of that. It just, yeah.
And loves the patterns too.
Yeah.
So funny to watch. Like the one in August was like, it would go star, smiley, star, smiley, star, smiley. So then the whole thing, just at the end of it, it's like a work of art.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So,
and this month it's butterfly frog. and it just puts so much, there's so much energy and fun.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, I want that butterfly. Okay.
Uh-huh. Can't miss a day with a frog, without a frog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just how you started, let's hope it never goes without saying how much we love Sandra.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just so, it's just so true and so good to articulate.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.